The Lord just laid this on my heart as we were taking communion. So I'm just going to try to be obedient and, you know, and do what He says to do. Let's come every Sunday with an expectation. You know? I know it's so easy, man, you know, because, you know, maybe you're up late enjoying yourself Saturday or something, and Sunday comes a whole lot earlier than you were expecting, and every week it just seems, you know, like, is it Sunday already? And in the rush to get ready, I mean, you know, you want your hair to be right and your clothes and your makeup, and you want, you know, the kids are running around and they can't find their shoes, you know. It's like, what did you do with them? You only had two? And when you're in a hurry, you know, Murphy's Law, man, you get out on the road, the slowest person in the county will wind up in front of you. And it's so easy just to get caught up in just trying to get here. And praise God, that's not a slam at all. I mean, that's just the stuff of life. But, you know, let's take it to the next level. Let's endeavor to come every Sunday expecting God. You know, and not to be afraid of that. Well, God, I really want to see you, but, you know, only if you act like this, you know. Let's just come expecting God to be God. We're going to spend eternity just finding out about Him. I mean, we're going to know Him as we are known, but He is unsearchable. His wisdom is unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. When you go on the other side of glory, you're going to spend the rest of eternity learning more and more and more about the glory of God. So let's not put Him in too small of a box when we come here. Let's expect God to teach us more and more and more and more about His glory. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I can't wait to find out what God is going to show us. Show me. Praise God. Lord, have Your way now, in Jesus' name. Have Your way. We give You the steering wheel, God. Do what You want to do. In Jesus' name. Over the last, I don't even know how many days, I lost track. I guess over the last 50 or 60 days in Lakeland, Florida, I know a lot of you guys have heard about this, there's been something called a healing revival going on. There's been services there every night for days on end. You know, they expected to do one thing and God just poured out, and so he just kept pouring and pouring and pouring out. And so they said, hey, you know, the wave is going. If we're going to ride this wave, let's not jump off now. Let's just keep on going and see what the Lord does. Thousands of people from literally all over the world have shown up at this place. I'm talking England, Africa, I can't even remember all the countries that have been named at this point. Say again? Taiwan. Yes, Taiwan. Amen. Literally all over the world, they flooded this place. It can't even begin to hold the number of people that have come here. And during this event, healings have been taking place in unusual numbers and in unusual intensity. All kinds of demonstrations of God's power have taken place. People have had their hearing restored. People have had their vision restored. People have had tumors disappear. There was one woman I saw for, I think, 9 years. I forget how many years. Her torso had been hard as a rock because of the tumors that had been present there. And as they were praying, the tumors disappeared. And her torso was soft and tender. She felt the power of God come on her, the fire of God. Burns have been healed. I mean, like, you know, some guy had put his hand on a muffler by accident, burned his hand, and God healed that. Their services are being broadcast live on the internet on god.tv.com, and I've taken some time to watch the services as they're being broadcast live. I've ransacked their website. I've really been trying to study as much as I can about it. That's a good word, isn't it? Just ransack the thing, man. I was hitting every link there and going down and just doing some research to check it out. I've frankly been impressed by some of the healings that they've shown there. And, you know, and I'm a kind of a not a skeptical guy, but I'd like to be balanced. You know, I don't like to get swept up in something. I'm an auditor by trade. I mean, you know, so I examine everything, every which way. I'm very analytical. But I've been very impressed by what I've seen. As of Friday night, the last night I tuned in, they had documented 18 of what they term resurrections from the dead. you know, dead. Raise them up. Yeah, in the original English, that means they were dead and they raised them up. You know, people who had, through either accident or disease, had, you know, been overcome, suffered clinical death, where their vital signs were had either stopped completely or were at such a low point that the doctors gave up hope. You know, they began to call the family in. They wanted to pull the plug on the machine. And many of these family members had been to this revival or had been following it, and God was moving in the area where they were. And so when they went to say their final farewells, they prayed over that person, and the Lord restored their vital signs, restored consciousness, restored strength, and the person came back to life. And they are trying to be diligent to document names, dates, places, and everything. So this is not just some urban legend, you know, but this is a documented record of what the Lord is doing through the prayers of His people. Just amazing. The guy who has been leading the services, I don't know if they had his picture up there, is a guy named Todd Bentley. He is somewhat controversial for a number of reasons. Yeah, there he is. Number one, probably the most obvious, is because of his tattoos. He's covered with tattoos. He's got the full sleeve on both arms. He's got the tattoos around his neck. He has a pierced bottom lip. The Lord delivered him many years ago out of, you know, all kinds of addictions and various things like that. But he went ahead and continued with the tattoo things because that's who he had a heart for. He worked with youth a lot in the beginning years. And he wanted to reach out to them and build a bridge to them. And so he just went ahead and continued to have that. He's been controversial kind of. He's not the kind of guy. He doesn't look like your typical healing evangelist. I mean, you put him there and Oral Roberts, you know, if you can imagine that. A little disparity, you know. Oral Roberts is kind of strange looking, and this guy's, you know, he's right up our alley. Well, come on, you know. I mean, how many people in here are wearing a tie today, you know? So, oh, man. You know, he's been known, I heard from Lynn that he was wearing a Demon Hunter t-shirt the last time she saw him or heard about him. There you go. And it was funny because she asked me, you know, what's this thing I hear about this demon, you know, on shirt that he's wearing? I knew immediately what it was. She says, it Demon Chasers or something? I was like, that's Demon Hunter. And I was kind of taken aback, too, the first time I saw their logo, just by way of information to kind of, you know, talk about the controversy. On that demon head logo, there is a hole in the middle of the forehead of the head. In essence, you know, bang, kablam. So, for what it's worth. But he's a controversial guy. Not your typical healing evangelist. And anytime you have these kinds of large outpourings of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be controversy. You know, the Scripture admonishes us to test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from any form of evil. So you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You look for what is good. You know, pray for discernment. And that which is good, you hold fast to that and you move with that. That which is, you know, maybe inappropriate, then you reject that or, you know, offer correction. But, you know, you don't just close yourself off to the move of God. Probably the things that as far as what he teaches or anything, or what stirred the most controversy, and I'm not going to get into those details today. I'll do that next week. But he talks about his encounters with angels. Now, I've seen what he's taught exegetically from Scripture about angels, and it's right on target. It's the same thing that I've studied and seen about angels, and some interesting things that don't get talked about a lot. I guess what sort of makes people a little kind of blown away is some of the encounters that he has had with angels and even some of the names that he's been given is what the angels' names are. We'll talk about in detail about that next week. But I've been, you know, like I said, ransacking the website. I looked at their statement of faith. I saved a copy of it to file. I can make that available. It checks out. It's, you know, conservative, orthodox. It's evangelical. It's what you would expect any Pentecostal church to have. In fact, for their evangelism, on the little link that says, you know, how to know Jesus, how to get saved, they use the four spiritual laws. And I forget whether that's Campus Crusade for Christ or Evangelism Explosion. They're Campus Crusade. Okay, yeah. They use that for their evangelism. So they check out. I mean, they are a evangelical, conservative, Pentecostal church that he's working with right now and that he's headquartered out of. In fact, the last time I saw him on that streaming video, he was exhorting very loudly, I mean shouting, he was exhorting the people to repent and get saved. You know, so it's not just about a dog and pony show. It's not about, you know, just something spectacular. He was exhorting the people, look, you know, you've come here for something, but unless you get right with God, you're not getting anything. You need to repent. You need to turn from sin, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and be saved. So I was very encouraged by that. Praise God. But the thing that I was most encouraged by in all my research so far that I've done was something that I saw in the bio of Todd Bentley himself. And that is this.